International Capital Markets and the International Capital Market Association, the ICMA. We want to understand the role and function of the ICMA in the capital market arena to contrast and compare its role with similar other trade associations and other core market sectors. In the capital markets, we look at the International Capital Markets Association. This was originally set up as the International Association of Bonds and Dealers, AIBD, in 1969. It will then later be renamed the International Secondary Markets Association, the ISMA. That's in 1992. We will then develop a separate, what we call an International Primary Markets Association, the IPMA, the IPMA, International Primary Markets, and the ISMA, International Secondary Markets Association. They then merged in 2005 to create the ICMA, the International Capital Markets Association. So the Primary Markets Association and the Secondary Markets Association, they will merge to create the International Capital Markets Association. It's going to prepare documentation and best practice guidelines, rule books, rule provisions in the capital market area. The model we have is that these markets are so large that no single agency, certainly at a national domestic level or even at an international level, would have the authority and resources to basically manage these markets. These markets are worth hundreds of millions of dollars each, and in the derivatives area, up to $700 trillion each. Hundreds of trillions of dollars. How can we govern these? We do on a self-regulatory basis. The markets essentially regulate themselves. How do they do that in practice? The largest players in each market, the largest banks and investment firms, they come together. They form a trade association to represent the interests of that market. That trade association then instructs the largest law firms, principally in London and in New York, and they prepare standard documentation or rulebook provisions which govern the structure and operation of these marks and these markets. The only difference is in the loan market association, because the loans are highly concentrated documents, all of the relevant core provisions, the financials, the obligations, and the defaults can be incorporated into a single loan agreement. It is very easy to prepare a single standard document. That's why we refer to, for example, the Loan Market Association standard multi-currency term and revolving facility document, which is 100 pages, including around 12 schedules. We can incorporate all of the key law legal provisions into that one document. The same thing happens in the derivatives area. The International Swaps and Derivatives Association, they've produced a 1992 master agreement, which was then updated in 2002. So we will come on and look in further detail at the 2002 master agreement. It's 3940 pages, prepared by Cromwell in New York. It's excellent. It's very, very good indeed. It's slightly more complicated than the LMA, because the LMA was prepared by two of the largest London law firms, Allen and Overy and Clifford Chance. The LMA is perfect legal English. The ISDA is very good indeed. It's just a little bit more complex, just a little bit more difficult to understand in places, but these create a model for regulating all other markets. The only difference in the capital market area is that we have a lot more parties involved. If we have more parties, we then have more relations, so we have to have more documents to manage those relations. So what we effectively do is all of the key provisions, the financials, the obligations, the defaults, all of the other ancillary measures are then spread over a larger number of documents. As well, because we're selling this to the general public now, we're bringing in the general public, there will be larger, more specific areas of additional regulatory provision we have to consider. The way the capital market model then works is that it's very similar to the loan markets and the derivatives markets. It's that, however, we use a rule book. It's called the ICMA. It's the primary handbook. It was the old International Primary Markets Association handbook. Its rule book specifies all the core provisions that we need to incorporate into these documents. So rather than write the documents themselves, we have the rules which specify what should be in the documents, including draft clauses. So we come to the same result. We just do it through a rule book which includes draft provisions rather than one single standard document, simply because these markets are so much more complicated. The background to the ICMA then is summarised on this note that I've provided, which with all of the information taken from its website directly, and I've provided the link for that as well. We will see that the main ICMA handbook was actually drafted in 1985. What happened when the IPMA and the ISMA initially merged, they kept the old IPMA, the 1985 handbook, as revised for a period until the ICMA was able to revise and create an integrated version which dealt with both the primary markets and the secondary markets. The primary markets in the securities area, the capital markets area, are the markets where you take a security, in our case bonds, notes or paper, and you bring them onto the market for the first time. The secondary market is then when you trade in those afterwards. So primary and secondary. In the banking markets, it's different. The primary money market is the market in which the central bank intervenes to manage the money supply. Monetary policy, which is essentially the cost and volume of money in circulation within the system. The secondary money markets are then other wholesale markets which are selling debt provided by other wholesale counterparties, which still constitute money market instruments within the money market system. So the use of the term primary and secondary becomes slightly different in the banking and the securities capital markets area. A lot of the key events and then key activities of the ICMA are all summarised in this outline. We will see here the core mission statement of the ICMA includes building trust in markets and promoting internationally accepted standards of best practice. It's developing best practice in this area. Secondly, contributing to the development of sustainable finance. That wasn't one of its early objectives. It's obviously brought that in later, but that's very important indeed. Thirdly, encouraging information flows and dialogues between all participants at the international level. And then policy construction. Engaging with international and national regulators on policy markets with a view to providing relevant market input so that we get the most effective results. Fifthly, providing network opportunities, bringing all the participants again together, and then promoting high professional status for market participants more generally through the provision of training and educational opportunities. There were, I understand, at least three core subgroups. There was an executive committee, a primary market and practices committee, legal and documentation committee. You'll also see here on the right-hand side, there's a lot of regional operations, regional facilities where they can ensure that even if the principal membership is more limited, it can still involve and include market representatives from all around the world. There are essentially around, I think it's 600 members of the ICMA, which represents 62 countries and basically all of the main capital markets in the world. Its key specific contribution is what was the IPMA handbook and now the ICMA handbook, going back to 1985. Another core operational involvement and activity was in the area of repurchase agreements. So the ICMA has also prepared a specific, what we call the Global Master Repurchase Agreement, the GMRA. That was 2000, although the original drafting goes back to 1992. That was in association between the ICMA and it's called the SIFMA, the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association. Repo markets are essentially spot forward and repurchase markets. You basically buying something and then agreeing to resell it back at a future time. This is a very important market, both in the corporate area, but specifically in the central bank areas. Very often, central banks will not want to lend unsecured. So rather than actually take security with all of the additional company law problems that arises, you use repurchase agreements. So what they basically do is, rather than lend to a large institution in the financial markets, what the central banks will do is they purchase securities off the institution. It's the same legal effect, economic effect, as lending and taking security. But instead of lending and taking security, you just buy the securities in the first place, so you get a title transfer. But you have an immediate resale. So it's an acquisition with an immediate acquisition with a forward repurchase or resale back. It's called a repurchase. It's a repurchase agreement. This is all governed by the GMRE standard terms. There's been various documents produced, 1992, 1995, 2000, and then more specific updates following the bearings crisis, following the global financial crisis. The GRME is a almost perfect example, again, of this idea of using standard documentation to regulate some of the largest markets in the world. We'll also see the same thing, the use of these in, for example, foreign exchange markets and then other market areas. The use and value of this is that we can avoid having the need for separate external regulation. The only qualification that has to be made is that in the capital markets, it just becomes a little bit more complicated because of a larger number of parties involved. Therefore, we have to spread all of this over a number of documents, as well as we have the general public involved who might be purchasing these bonds, notes, or paper as direct investors. That then raises direct regulatory issues with regards to public issuance, as well as if we're going to register these on stock markets and exchanges, we have admission to listing and admission to trading. Admission to listing is where you get approval in any specific country to sell something, a security, to the general public. That's admission to listing. And then separately, you have admission to trading, where you then want to take that security and sell it through a specific stock market. So admission to trading and admission to listing. All of this then makes this a little bit more complicated, and that's why we use the model of a handbook rather than a single document, which we would use in other areas. And with this, we can understand the important role and contribution of the ICMA, all of its other core activities over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years is all summarised on the outline provided.